Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jim Colony, who's been working diligently behind the scenes for a few hours this morning, getting all the sound together and doing everything. Jim, good morning to you. How you doing?
Morning. How are you guys?
We're great. We're good. Did you have a good weekend, Jimbo?
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Very, very nice. Before the hour,
I tweeted out a photo. Did you see my video I tweeted out?
I did.
Indoor golf from no off-season golf and Mike Van Sickle with a hole in one on a simulator.
I did. I saw that. Good job.
It's really cool looking.
Really, really neat. You're in there. You're swinging it. You're getting ready for the spring season. So I like that from you, staying in shape. How was your game? How was your indoor golf game there, Jim?
I got a couple pars.
Okay.
It was all right.
All right.
It's all right. It took me a while to get going. I didn't get any holes in one like Van Sickle did, but I mean, he's a pro, so you know, you'd think he'd have a good chance to do stuff like that.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Before the hour's out, I have a big admission to make, and then toward the end of the hour, there was a call. We were doing some of these solo weekend shows because of the pandemic and different things, and we're helping out on the weekends. I got a call to the weekend show on Saturday that was absolutely incredible. That was a follow up on the kids need to toughen up. Remember that Brashear and Carrick situation from last week in that basketball game? One guy just had a strong take about it, and you're going to want to hear that before the hour's out. Jim, question for you as we get moving this morning. How much influence, if any? Now, you've heard Breeze. He's not retired yet. Aaron Rodgers is going to stick around. Ben, we don't know what's going on, but he said he wants to play. How much influence do you think Brady and the run that Brady's made and Brady's still playing, do you think that those guys, however misguided it might be because he's totally different, but do you think that some of these older quarterbacks look at Brady and go, ah, you see, if he's still doing it, I can do it. Do you think that there's any sort of pointing to him and going, yeah, you know, I'm still chasing that guy? You think that influences them at all?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. I heard an hour ago, I heard Ed Bouchette with you guys, and I kind of was in lockstep with his answers. I don't think it's going to influence Ben all that much, though. Rodgers, maybe. Breeze, like Ed said, I kind of thought he had already retired. It sounded like he made his mind up. And then there's no one else in that age group, is there? Am I missing somebody?
Well, Rivers retired, so.
Right. And then Matt Ryan's quite a bit. I mean, he's been around forever, but he's still quite a bit younger than those other guys. I don't think so. I don't think it, you know, it might make him think a little bit. But then if you have to do all the things that he's done in terms of his diet and everything else, you know, at some point you just figure like, you know what, I've had a really good career here, or a great career, actually, in the case of all those guys. And when it's time, it's time. I think that's how I don't think Brady would have that much influence.
I wonder how much of a pull Ben feels toward being, as much as he can be, just a normal, average, everyday dad for a while, you know? And I think that's – it seems anyway – and I'm just – you know, I'm judging from what we've seen and heard and, you know, the little docu-series that they did on YouTube during his rehab. But it seems to me like he just – like he really relishes that, and that – especially over the last year with everything everybody's gone through, that he may have realized it then more than ever in the relationship with his family. And again, I'm just going based on what we've seen. I don't know personally that that's the fact, but it seems like that would resonate more with him now than ever, especially with some of his buddies deciding to hang out.
And I don't know what Ben is going to do, like from a hobby standpoint, from, you know, you take Breeze, for example, okay, and people say, well, I can't believe Breeze hasn't retired already. I kind of fall in that boat as well, because Breeze already has it lined out. Apparently, he's got a deal with NBC. He's going to walk in. He's going to do Notre Dame football for a year, and then NBC has a Super Bowl in 2022, so they think that that's going to be probably the end to Al Michaels. Al Michaels is going to go out. He's going to retire after that. Tirico slides up. They might move Collinsworth to the booth or excuse me, to the pre and post game kind of stuff. They might make a three-man booth. Breeze, after a year of seasoning, the design is on him being an NBC guy, kind of the Romo of NBC. They want him to be, if all works as designed. So his path is kind of laid out. And that's why people are kind of scratching their head. And I'm sure there's another Collinsworth around because they love the Collinsworth, so they'll just promote that guy. Not that I'm saying there's any sort of nepotism or anything, but there's probably another Collinsworth laying around that they'll hire. But he seems to have his life sort of laid out, his after-football life laid out is what I'm getting at with Breeze. With Ben's after-football life, doesn't it feel to you guys, or I'm saying it feels to me like Ben is maybe – as much as there are the stories where Ben isn't the first guy in there and Ben's not crushing the weight room or anything like that, like, what do you picture Ben doing if he's not playing football? I don't think he's not going to go into the media. I don't think that Ben is going to take off and go play golf somewhere. He just, as Ed pointed out, he just built this spectacular, big estate in Sewickley. So I think Ben is more a homebody than just about anybody else. What is he going to do without football, guys?
He's going to sit around and play with his kids.
Right.
Honestly, I think that's what – and, go out and ride some horses every once in a while, right? I mean, he's going to lead a pretty quiet life, I think. I mean, I don't get any inclination that tells me that Ben Roethlisberger – is going to, look to get into coaching, look to get into the media. I think he's going to hang out and be a dad for the next 10 years or so.
Wow.
You see where it's going, though, Jim? Like, where do you have, if you were funneling Ben Roethlisberger's life and taking a guess on where it's going to be after he retires, what is there that you say, yep, that's exactly what he's going to do? And maybe that's part of the resistance for him to walk away. Yeah, great, it's good being a dad and getting his kids on the school bus and whatever, but with the way that it works out now, he kind of is able to do some of that stuff anyway as it is. He's clinging on to being on this team, and he doesn't have a whole lot to look forward to in retirement.
And I think this is why the Brady model really doesn't apply to Ben and probably doesn't have any – it doesn't provide any allure to him, because the Brady model is you're going to go off and probably be, it might include going to some other city,
right,
and playing somewhere for Carolina for a year, as Ed mentioned earlier, or wherever it may be, going, not being with your family or dragging your family with young kids along to another city away from their home and everything they know. And then also having to redouble down on that physical commitment that it takes in an off season above and beyond anything else he's ever done before. At the level that he had to go to rehab his arm, but for his entire body in order to get one more good year out of it.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that although now it's weird because, like you guys said, you put the kids on the school bus and, well, you don't do that every day now, do you? But that can't last forever. You got to find something to do with yourself,
right?
When you retire, you just have to, or else you'd go crazy. It's like when you're an athlete, you don't want to. Your body just can't take the rigors anymore, and so you give it up, and then you've got a lot of idle time. And when the kids are at school, what are you going to do? You got to find something to keep yourself busy. And you can only play so much golf, even if you live in a place where you can play golf all year round. It's just, you got to find something to do.
Speaking of retirement, Chris was not here on Friday. Do you have, by the way, producer Matt, the clock that's running? Did you save off the soundbite, by the way, or do you have the drop save?
I didn't save off the soundbite.
Okay, but Jim Colony said that he will retire. He will be retired, Chris, on February 19th of 2020. Matt, back us up here. What did he say?
He said within the next two years,
he will be retired. From that date.
I said by the time that they're collecting tolls over that bridge on I-79 over Route 50, that I'll be retired, probably.
And our friend Cheryl Moon Sirianni put a timeline on that of 18 months to 2 years to when that would happen. The countdown to Jim's retirement has begun. Jim's going to be retired in 2 years.
Now, are you going to do like a goodbye tour the next time you're allowed to go to Florida of all the Grapefruit League ballparks and then all the golf courses in the North Hills and then all the golf courses in Westmoreland County the next time you're at training camp?
Like, sort of like a Cal Ripken kind of thing. Jim. Right, like where they give him gifts and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely, Jim. Pull that off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I don't even know why I said that. But it's probably, but that probably is accurate.
Well, what Chuck Knoll said. I mean, if you're already thinking about it, you know, you're there.
I know that means I think about that all the time. That if I mention that, then I guess I should quit right now.
Every morning around 8 o'clock, when I got to jump on with you two yahoos, I think about it.
And so you're already you got a foot there.
But I wouldn't
Jim.
Have anything to do. That actually is. I mean, that's a true thing. Is that you know you think about okay. You know, it's been a nice career, and let's, you know, but you know, what am I going to do?
Well, if Fetterman gets in, you could sit around and smoke weed. You into that?
No, not really.
Okay.
Gummies?
Yes.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Okay. My boy Fubar will have a spot in his administration.
Perhaps.
maybe he is Fubar. But from Ben's standpoint, I can't imagine, you know, if you're in your mid-60s, you know, between 65 and 70, and you still think, like, I got to, you know, okay, if I retire, what am I going to do? I can't imagine being you know, between 35 and 40. And saying, well, if I retire,
I would be able to fill
do?
The gaps, I think. I'd be able to pull it off. I would find enough.
I would, too. Yeah, I'd do a whole lot of nothing.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I think you say that now, but then...
No.
But then when it comes time, and you're doing nothing...
I'm telling you, Jim.
I know Ron Cook says this, but I could do nothing better than anybody in the world. I could challenge Ron Cook for that. Absolutely.
I guess this old Cowboy's got a little bit left in him.
All right, we
got
to talk Lake Tahoe coming up next, because should they do this again? Should they try this? And where are these outdoor games going to go? We get into that. And then at about 8:30, I have an unbelievable admission to make from this weekend sports watching, and I'll get into that. How could you look at Tahoe and the games there and not think anything but it was a disaster? That's my thought. You guys might think it went off okay and it's just a delay and you get weather. If you're a player and you now sort of, you want the money that comes with it, you want the visibility of the contract, and you want NBC to show these games, and you'd be speaking out kind of against the players' union who wants to try to procure all of that. But in your heart of hearts, if you're really a player, how do you think those conditions, skating through ruts and everything else, how are they good? How, if you're being truthful, do you not say this sucks?
I mean, some of the players said that. You could see, I think it was Pacioretty talking to one of the officials as they were wrapping up the first period on Saturday afternoon, and you could see that it wasn't going to work at that particular point in time. I still think that there was something special about last night in particular, that first period or so, where you had some of those sweeping views and the sun setting over the mountains and things like that. That was really cool to see. But there's got to be more of a balance between the safety and the competitiveness of the actual game and having picturesque views or a really cool atmosphere.
They're just I'm done with it. I think I'm done with it. I thought the views were great. It was so picturesque. We talked about this on Friday. I even saw it as soon as it flashed on the television on Saturday. Wow, is this beautiful. You've got people coming out of the lake, the Coast Guard guy delivering the puck. This is incredible. Then the game started, and the ceremony and everything else was better than the game because it was like you were on pins and needles, Jim, waiting and hoping someone didn't get hurt. That's where I was watching this.
Well, it was one nice glorified photo op is what it was. And we watched the construction of it. And I remember tweeting out, we talked about it on Friday, like you said, tweeted out photos of the venue. And it was absolutely spectacular. And I made it a point to turn the TV on at 3 o'clock Saturday just to see all this stuff. And then the game started and the players, you couldn't see, you couldn't skate. And then, like, you know, then the sun started beating down, and it was really dangerous. And I mean, you don't have to look. And we've talked about it with Sid playing his 1,000th game and what happened 10 years ago when that was a disaster at Heinz Field,
right,
where they had to postpone the game because it was raining, and then they played it, and then it was raining anyway. And the conditions were terrible. And not that that was the cause for Sid's concussion, because Hedman hit him the following game and so forth. But that didn't help. And
give me towny rinks. Give me indoor towny rinks from here. Give me some town rink in the middle of North Dakota.
Oh, it's been really
cool
when they've done that.
Give me some town rink in the middle of Kamloops or whatever, where 1,000 people can go. I need an indoor rink at this point. I don't.
Well, I think what we saw is just, you know, when you play these outdoor games, you are beholden to the elements, whether it's rain at Heinz Field 10 years ago, as you point out, Jim, or whether it's sun beating down on Lake Tahoe. And if you don't have the right conditions, you have to be willing to scrap the game. And that's tough to do for these leagues with all the money that's riding on it. But when it comes down to player safety, again, and competitiveness of the game, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. You change the elements if you can at all, and that's what they did in moving the game back to late Saturday night or the final two periods of Saturday's game and then playing last night's game at 7:30, 8 o'clock. They handled the elements as well as they could, so I give them credit for that, but they've got to consider that going forward, that if you're presented with something that doesn't make sense, you don't try to – you don't even get it started.
Right. Gary Bettman's in charge a lot. He's not in charge of the weather, and he can't be, and right. that's a tough one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.